Good morning and welcome. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Today we have three services, and thank you to Ken for leading this service.
There it is.
Pastoral news. Marion Ayres is in intensive care at St George's. Please pray for her and her family. And it's good to see Anne Phillips here today after a short spell in hospital. Lovely to see you, Anne. This Tuesday evening is book club, and that's at Katie Frost. Katie, you're here. Would you like to put your hand up? Thank you. And I'd like to give you an advance notice of the Advent 24 Hours of Prayer, which will start at 9 a.m. on the 30th of November. Next week, there will be four services with the afternoon messy church service, and that focuses on chilling out. Sounds attractive. There are still some 2019 prayer books available to buy, and Olive Springham is the woman to speak to. Jane Townsend would appreciate some more jam jars for her marmalade making. And I have two Anne finalists, which is Sally Butler and Denise.
You are warmly invited to our pop-up nativity. No rehearsal is required. It will be happening on Sunday, the 9th of December at our gift service. Starts at 10:30 a.m. And what happens is that hopefully everyone, adults and children, come as a character in the nativity, and there's going to be something for everybody to do on the day. No speaking is required, other than a few sound effects. And anyone that just wants to sit and watch can still do that and can still join in with actions and sound effects and that kind of thing. The parts in our nativity are on the flip chart over there. It doesn't matter if we have more than one of each part. So if we have five Marys, that's okay, because we can incorporate that into the story. I've seen the script, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm hoping that this year it's something we can all take part in, as well as the children, and it's really got a good message at the end to help us really think about what Christmas really means. So just turn up on the day, but if you could come with a character in your mind, if you want to dress up, that'd be great. I know some adults are going to be dressing up. That would be great. And then there's a messy church in the afternoon if you want to come and join us and make Christingles. Okay, so 9th of December, pop-up nativity. The characters are on the flip chart. Please consider coming and joining in on that day. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Three words, alternative Christmas card. If you have your envelope with you today, could you please either give it to me or Barbara? Mum, will you put your hand up? And if you've lost your envelope, could you ask Barbara for another one? So alternative Christmas cards, if you can give them to us today, that would be great. Thank you. Next week is the last week. Okay, yes.
Good morning, everybody. We open our service by saying together the words of Psalm 8 in English or Korean. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is here. you care. You crown them with glory and honor. You grace them over all creation, sheep and cattle, and wild animals too, the birds and the fish, and the fruits of the sea. O Lord, our great sea. We join to sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We join to pray. A prayer to God the Creator. O God, who calls into being things that are not, and who calls us to live by faith, help us to follow the way of Jesus, who brought life to people who believed in him. We remember that Jesus' life of faith led him into conflict with the authorities and to death on the cross. Open our hearts to the mystery of his death and passion, and to the abundant new life available to us through his resurrection. Amen. We thank you, gracious Lord. You have loved us from the beginning of time and remembered us when we were in trouble. At this critical time in the life of our country, remember us and the decisions we have to take. We thank you, redeeming God. You came to us in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. Your mercy endures forever. We thank you, Holy God. You have sent us your Spirit to comfort us and lead us into all truth. Your mercy endures forever. Gracious, redeeming, Holy God, glory and praise be yours, now and forever. Amen. We join to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
I'm constantly wheeling a trolley around this church, but I'm thankful for them because some of the stuff I do is two floors up, so I wouldn't fancy taking that upstairs. Right, I'm going to create a lovely, cosy, safe space, okay? So I've got some cushions and a beanbag, elephant cushion. Another elephant cushion. I think whoever bought the cushions for parents and toddlers was a bit of an elephant fan. Another lovely cushion. And I've got a lovely warm blanket that I'm going to put over that. And I've got some teddy bears to cuddle. Just snuggle up to those. That's my favourite bear. It's ready for winter, that one. And I've got a book to read. All we need really is a hot chocolate, don't we, with some squirty cream on the top and a flake and some sprinkles. Be really nice and warm. And marshmallows. I like your style. I like your style. Now, who's going to come and join me in this lovely safe space? Come on. Cozy up. Oh. Come on, sit down. The adults are getting really jealous now because they're on relatively hard chairs and we're going to comfy up. Right. We're going to think today about what helps us to feel safe and secure. What do we hold on to feel safe? Have you got any ideas? What do you think? Your parents, you can hold your parents' hand, can't you? That's a really good suggestion. And maybe you give your parents a hug and you let them kind of hold on to you and help you to feel safe and secure. Anything else? For some people it is. It's like, I'm going to be in my warm, cozy bed. I'm going to hold on to my teddy bear. I'm going to just read a book and I'm just going to Try not to think about what's going on. What else do we hold on to? And perhaps the adults can think as well, because I'm going to ask you in a minute, what do we hold on to make us feel safe? Sometimes it's things, isn't it? Maybe it is for a little person, it might be a teddy bear. Sometimes it's people, our parents, our children, someone else, our friends. A pet, yes, we might. We might snuggle up with a pet and help. That might help us to feel better. And a lot of older people living on their own might have a pet and that keeps them company and helps them to feel like they've got a friend at home. What about the adults? What do you hold on to make you feel safe?
I hold on to that pole in the bus so I don't fall
over. The pole on the bus so you don't fall over. I know, you hold on to it for like that, don't you? Or on the tube, it might be like that. With this rope thing that comes down, yeah. Our Bible, we go back to the Bible so we're spiritually safe. Good idea. Anything else? A particular friend, your best friend, you might ring them up and tell them how you're feeling and get some advice and encouragement from them. Or you might go out for coffee with them or something like that. Did you have your hand up, Leslie? Some people are kept safe by routine, having structure, knowing what's going on and what's happening today and what's happening tomorrow and, well, from hour to hour for some people. Any other suggestions? Brilliant suggestions. Oh, gosh, there's lots.
Ring Samaritans.
That's a fantastic suggestion, ring Samaritans. Some people do that when things get so bad, they ring the Samaritans and get advice and guidance and encouragement, don't they? Yeah, that's really, we must remember people who are so depressed and so down that that's what they have to do. Thank you for that suggestion. Anything else? Your mobile phone, ringing someone or texting someone, yeah? Anything? Your stick, yeah, to help you literally physically to walk along and to feel steady and stable. Your walking stick, yes. Anything else? Okay. We're going to be thinking some more about that. And we're going to think about holding on to Jesus. Because we live in a very messy world. It's kind of an understatement. At the moment, we live in a messy world. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And we need to pray. We need to keep going back to Jesus to pray and ask him to keep us safe and secure in a very messy world. Okay? Cool.
We come to our readings for today's service, and David Tang is going to read our first passage from the book of Hebrews.
Every Jewish priest performs his services every day and offers the same sacrifices every time, many times. But these sacrifices can never take away sins. Christ, however, offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever. And then he sat down at the right-hand side of God. There he now waits until God puts his enemies as a footstool under his feet. With one sacrifice, then, he has made perfect forever those who are purified from sin. And the Holy Spirit also gives us his witness. First, he says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them in the days to come, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds." And then he says, "I will not remember the sins and evil deeds any longer." So when these have been forgiven, an offering to take away sins is no longer needed. We have then, my brothers, complete freedom to go into the most holy place by means of the death of Jesus. He opened for us a new way, a living way, through the curtain that is through his own body. We have a great priest in charge of the house of God. So let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, with hearts that have been purified from a guilty conscience and with bodies washed with clean water. Let us hold on firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promise. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from the Gospel of St. Mark, and Jean Thompson is going to read this for us.
Jesus speaks of the destruction of the temple. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and buildings." Jesus answered, "You see these great buildings? Not a single stone here will be left in its place. Every one of them will be thrown down." Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives across from the temple when Peter, James, John, and Andrew came to him in private. "Tell us when this will be," they said, "and tell us what will happen to show that the time has come for all these things to take place." Jesus said to them, "Be on guard and don't let anyone deceive you. Many men claiming to speak for me will come and say, 'I am he,' and they will deceive many people. And don't be troubled when you hear the noise of battles close by and news of battles far away. Such things must happen, but they do not mean that the end has come. Countries will fight each other. Kingdoms will attack one another. There will be earthquakes everywhere, and there will be famines. These things are like the first pains of childbirth." Amen.
We join to sing, "King of Glory, King of Peace, I Will Love Thee."
Thank you.
Our first reading today comes from the book we know as Hebrews. This book is comparatively little known, and I want to tell you a bit about it in the hope that you will take an hour sometime to take it down and read it through. We know this book was written by 95 AD, and that some of the authors had talked to people who had spoken with Jesus. We know it was written by 95 AD because in that year it was quoted by Clement, the Bishop of Rome. The book was addressed to Jewish Christians suffering persecution in Italy and near Rome. It is clearly not written by Paul, whose style is completely different. And unlike the other New Testament books, it is not a personal letter, but rather it is an open letter or sermon designed to encourage people who were at the point of giving up the Christian faith. The passage we read today addresses the key question underlying the spiritual journeys for all of us. How can we find forgiveness for the sins that we have committed? Here we read that Christ has offered himself for all time as a single sacrifice for sins. And the Holy Spirit of God says to us, "I will remember their sins no more." Hebrews describes how the search for forgiveness moved away from buying things and animals to sacrifice to Christ's offering of himself for all time as a single sacrifice for sin. And the author imagines a conversation between Christ and God. When Christ was about to come into the world, he said to God, "You do not want sacrifices and offerings, but you have prepared a body for me. You are not pleased with sacrifices to take away sins." Then I said, "Here I am to do your will, O God, just as it is written in the book of the law." So God does away with all the old sacrifices and puts the sacrifice of Christ in their place. Now, we have been thinking much about sacrifice recently as we remember the centenary of the Great War. And I am always moved by the poem by Wilfred Owen, in which he reworked the story of the sacrifice of Isaac. It tells how Abraham bound Isaac to the altar and was about to kill him when an angel called to him not to do anything to the lad. "Behold, a ram caught by the thorns in a thicket. Offer the ram of pride instead of your son." But in an outrageous reversal of the Old Testament story, the old man did not change his mind and slew his son and all the youth of Europe one by one. We are still in a learning process about war. Current thinking often seems to be still based on the idea of sacrifice. We say, "They paid the ultimate sacrifice." It reminds us of the words of the Old Testament of the futility of offering the fruit of our body for the sins of our soul. And this is far away from what we have learned of Christ. And we can only pray now that the documentation of terrible cost which we have seen on our television screens as we remember the Great War may change our hearts and minds in our country and move us in future to reject aggression. Hebrews has a very high view of human nature. We, like Jesus, are the children of God. Jesus, the Savior, and those whom he seeks to save have the same Father. So Jesus says, "Here I am with the sisters and brothers you have given me." The author then quotes the Old Testament teaching that God made human beings ruler over all things. And this recalls Psalm 8, which we read at the beginning of the service. These are the words. "What is man that you think of him? Mere man that you care for him. Yet you made him inferior only to yourself. You crowned him with glory and honor. You appointed him ruler over everything you made. You placed him over all creation." So the author has a very high view of human beings. But he wryly observes, "We do not, however, see human beings in charge of everything now. But we do see Jesus, who was made like us, so that by God's grace he might die for everyone." Since the children, as he called them, are people of flesh and blood, Jesus shares their human nature. And he does this so that through his death, he can destroy the devil, who has the power over death, and in this way set free all those who were enslaved. But what does this mean for us, that Jesus has destroyed the power of death and set free those who were enslaved? We know that we will come to the end of our physical lives. So it is not that power of death that Christ has destroyed. What then does it mean? St. Paul writes that when we die, the grace of God draws us into a new dimension. We are citizens of heaven. Heaven is not a place, but it is real. By the love of God, we return to our Father who is in heaven, i.e., one who is outside time and space. Our identity then is not limited to flesh and blood, but is most truly defined by our relationship to God. Those who are held in the memory of the God who is outside time and space never die. They become part of the eternal life and existence of God. Yet, if we are wrong if we take refuge wholly in spiritualizing the freedom that we have been given by Christ, so that it relates only to the life after death. His freedom is given so that we might have life more abundantly now. We have been invited to join the work of God who is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The Nigerian author Ben Okri has written about this. "There is a possibility," he says, that our world could be widened to a vaster, more wondrous reality. And he then goes on to contrast the official life and activity of a country with the real concerns of the people who live in it. The legislators of the world take the world as given. They speak to us of facts, policies, statistics, programs, abstract and secure moralities. But the dreams of the people are beyond them and would trouble them. Our lives have become narrow, but our dreams seek to widen them. To be religious, says Okri, does not require an institution. It requires terror, faith, compassion, imagination, and belief in more than three dimensions. The terror is a fear of spiritual emptiness. The faith is a commitment to values that are the true light of every person who comes into the world, which Christians find in the person of Jesus. Yet the Christian life is not simply an imitation of Jesus. It is a continuous life lived through the grace, compassion, and power which is found by those who follow his way. The later chapters of Hebrews are about the nature of our faith. To have faith, he writes, is to be sure about the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. The opposite of Christian faith is certainty. It is by faith that we understand that the universe was created by God's word, so that what can be seen is made of what cannot be seen. Hebrews celebrates those who long for a better life, and so God is not ashamed for them to call him their God, because he has prepared a city for them. And the final words of the author is a salutary reminder of how Jesus died outside the city wall. The author seeks to encourage his readers, but he does not hide the fact that Christian life and witness never fits comfortably within the structures that control our lives. Let us then, he says, go to him outside the camp and be prepared to share his lonely and isolated voice. For there is no permanent city for us here on earth. Instead, we are looking for the city which is to come. We join to sing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." Finlay Forbes is going to read to lead our intercessions.
Let us pray. O Lord, we come into your presence in the assurance that whatever we ask for in prayer, having faith and truly believing, you will grant. God, we ask that you give us this faith as we pray, but also that we understand that your answers to our prayers may not always be what we have in mind. O Lord, as this time of remembrance fades into Advent and we forget the sacrifices for yet another year, help us to remember those whose life is one continual sacrifice, particularly those who care for the chronically ill, often with very little reward and not even much in the way of gratitude. And we also commit to your care those who continue to serve in the armed forces, in the police, in the fire and rescue services, those who face danger every day so that we may live in safety. And, O Lord, at this time especially, we commit to you our troubled, confused, and deeply divided nation. Be with those who govern it. Help them to sacrifice the ram of pride on the altar of public service. We ask, O Lord, that you guide them in the way that they should go, that they will act in the best interests of all, that they will follow your guidance and not their own. For only in you can come the wisdom necessary to lead this nation through its present troubles. And, O Lord, we pray for all those who are ill, those who are unemployed, and we pray particularly for those whose skills have been cast on the scrap heap through advances in technology and who are now no longer in a position to find new employment. But Lord, at this time we pray also for ourselves. Make us empty vessels, ready to receive your will for us. We know that you have a plan. All we have to do is open our hearts and minds to receive us. Guide us in the way, O Lord, that we should go. Show us your path before us, that we might become your witnesses here in this place. O Lord, we place these imperfect prayers before you and the unspoken prayers of our hearts and minds and ask that you answer them as you see fit. In the name and through the power of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
We continue our service as we receive our offertory. Eternal God, we come with these gifts to offer the praise of our lips and the service of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join to sing, Son of God, Eternal Saviour, source of life and truth and grace. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us this week and always. Amen. As we leave, we share the grace with each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.